Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time.
The best there is, best there was, and the best there ever will be. And you know it.
With a tear in my eye.
The queen of the crop.
Acknowledge me.
Episode 366 of Top Rope Nation. I am your host, Jesse Velasquez, on this wonderful Thursday night. It's a little bit cool here in the Twin Cities, and accompanied to my right is Justin Joint on said YouTube screen. It is cold also in Cedar Falls, I take it.
Oh, man. Better than it was it last night or the night before, where we had like a negative 13 wind chill? It was brutal. No fun.
What's really weird about the weather is I went to pick up my son from immersion yesterday at 3:15. That wind was howling, and the temperature was 15 degrees warmer than it was when I got outside this morning to drop him off at immersion, and it felt warmer this morning than it did yesterday.
Yeah, you got to love this Midwest weather where, you know, you have a stretch of those like sub-zero days, and then you get into the 20s, and it just as well be like 50 or 60. That's what it feels like. It's like, shit, we're back to shorts weather.
We're hitting 40s here this weekend, so I'm assuming you're getting the same, if not a little bit warmer, I would imagine, down there.
You know what? I'm honestly not sure.
Okay.
It's pretty chilly, though.
Which might mean, yeah, sweatshirt weather, and then lose the Carhartt jacket, I think, for me. We'll see how that goes.
That's what I have, too. Carhartt. 36 right now, or maybe that's what, no, that's, oh shit. No, it's 11 degrees right now. A high of 36 tomorrow.
Yeah. Yep. So you're going to be getting probably into the high 40s, low 50s over the weekend, because it's supposed to be pretty warm up here.
Welcome everybody to our weather podcast.
We're not taking Kyle Fletcher's Cedar Falls, Iowa job.
Actually, this is an Eric Bischoff appreciation podcast. We'll be talking about his amazing performance on NXT.
So amazing that he's going to reduplicate it at MLW tonight.
What a carny joke.
Eazy-E trying to make some money on the side. Yeah, not effing good, folks. Not effing good at all. All right, before we dive into some regular stuff, as in current day product, I got to find the patron button because I know it's right there. Bingo. This is patreon.com/Top Rope Nation. It's the best way to support us. Only $5 a month. We're going to be recording classics next week. We had a little bit of a scheduling snafu. I will hopefully be recording an episode of Unplugged either Sunday or Monday this coming week. Kind of going over what happened on SmackDown. I'm still on the fence about going to NXT Deadline on Saturday.
Where's that at?
The Armory.
Oh, okay.
That's the only big appeal for me, is it's at the Armory. They have
That's
such
right.
a
That's right. You dig
acoustics.
That venue, don't you? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. What are our ticket prices kind of look affordable, or?
They are, but I think they're on the high end of affordable right now, I would say. Yeah. Like, go ahead.
What size venue is the Armory? Like, how many people can they get in there? Is that like a 5,000 seat?
Not even.
No? Oh, really? Okay.
It gets two. That's what they're seated for, is two. I think there's about 400 seats left when I last looked. Cheapest ticket to get in the door right now is about $75.
Is that St. Paul or Minneapolis?
That is Minneapolis.
Minneapolis.
Not too far from U.S. Bank.
Okay, here we go. Oh, yeah, that's a sharp-looking place. Why do I not recognize that? Had to have seen that before, I would think.
Great for concerts.
Huh. That's less than 5,000 people. It looks huge in the picture.
Mm-hmm. It does look enormous. They're set up for, I think two when I last looked at WrestleTix about a week ago. So maybe they expanded it, but I guess I don't think they've sold out. SmackDown's here tomorrow also, by the way. It's at the Target Center.
Oh, really? No, you're not going to that, though?
I definitely won't be going to. I will be watching that on TV for sure. I mean, just because I'm curious how everything's going to go.
Mm-hmm.
And then try to dig into Collision on Saturday as well, if I don't go to Deadline. So that's going to be one of those last-second things.
Don't blame you.
Yeah.
No, I'm going to have to try and get into that place sometime. That looks cool.
Go see a concert. So if you do see an artist that you dig and you see they're at the Armory, if you have the availability, get away from the children for 24 hours, go.
All right. Hey, this is to do with nothing, but did you ever see Purple Rain, the Prince movie? Is that like mandatory for anybody from Minneapolis area?
It's been years since I've seen it, but yes.
You have seen it though.
Mm-hmm.
Do you like it?
Yeah.
Okay. I saw bits and parts when I was a kid, but I've never actually sat down and watched the whole thing. And fortunately, it's not streaming anywhere right now, so I might have to rent it or something.
Okay. Like Amazon Prime rental?
Yeah, I might have to do that. I was just thinking about that because of, you know, I think the majority of that movie takes place in First Ave.
Yes.
So just thinking about famous music places in the Minneapolis area, I guess.
That's probably as famous as it gets right there. And it's literally on the corner, yeah. Right, Kitty, from Target Center. Good stuff. Good stuff. All right, wrestling fans. We're going to start out with WWE first, and we're going to close with AEW Continental Classic / Dynamite, which we covered on Unplugged last week. I get to gloat about a prediction I made that came true. But before we do that, you and I both caught a little bit of Survivor Series. From what you caught, Justin Joint, what did you think of it?
I loved it. And here is why. I did not watch it the night of. I tried. I knew I wasn't going to be able to start it until late. I jumped in at the men's war game, like somewhere in the middle of it. And I could have sworn you could rewind the PLEs. It would not let me rewind. So I didn't want to just like start in the middle of the men's war game. So I was like, well, I'll just shut it off and I'll wait, you know, for a half an hour after the show and see if that replay comes up. I don't think that replay came up for at least another 2 hours after the show ended. So I just watched Collision instead. And then Survivor Series, I actually didn't get to until 2 days ago. And here was my experience. This is what I watched on Survivor Series. I got to bring up the matches here real quick. I watched Shinsuke Nakamura's entrance. Just out of curiosity to see what this new presentation is all about. I'm not sure about the makeup. I don't know if they're trying to make him look like some sort of samurai zombie or what's going on there. I find the call to put the United States Championship on him very questionable, considering the way he's been booked since WrestleMania 34. He seems so firmly entrenched in the mid-card, and you have somebody in LA Knight who the fans are really behind. And I would assume a lot of them would like to see maybe a bit stronger push for LA Knight. So it just seems like a bit of a backstep by putting the title on Shinsuke Nakamura. I can't imagine that going anywhere all that interesting. That was the end of that match. Didn't even watch it. Just watched that entrance. Fast forwarded to the IC title match. And I freaking loved it. I thought it was just absolutely awesome. I'm a, you know, big Sheamus fan, but holy smokes, do you know who I love? Who might be like my third or fourth favorite WWE wrestler right now? Ludwig. That dude is fantastic. He's got kind of all the stuff you want from a heel in professional wrestling.
Yes,
you want to see him get the crap beaten out of him. He just has that face. The way he moves and how he gets around the ring inside and out is just phenomenal. Big, big fan. Love that match. I'm very curious to see how much of this Sheamus won in the IC title you know, story they plan to, if it's one of those things where they're going to keep it, you know, away from him for a long time, if not forever, or if he will maybe get it sooner, or if this is going to be one of the big WrestleMania moments. Next up was the Damian and Gunther match. Half-assed watched this one. I was looking at NBA box scores for a lot of it. What I did see, I liked Damian Priest's selling of the shoulder, I believe. Good yes. stuff. And I'm always going to be a sucker for when Gunther just turns it on at the end of the match, when he just gets finally frustrated and just goes balls out and ends guys. Zero interest in where this stuff with Finn Balor is going. Kind of it's the same thing with Shinsuke Nakamura. Been around too long. Like, I don't see them as, you know, main players anymore. So they're just kind of situational. They're just something to get you by until the actual story you're wanting to tell. And finally, War Games. I watched the men's War Games until the West Side Story face off, and I turned it off. And that was my Survivor Series experience. It was great.
You watched just a... Well, no, we probably watched equal amounts.
Oh, okay.
We did. So I caught the Triple Threat IC title match as well, which I thought was very good. To your Shinsuke Nakamura point, an old podcast that Kyle Ross and I did on my old show, or on my show, we talked about kind of Shinsuke Nakamura's moment where he fell out of favor with WWE management when he accidentally injured John Cena in a match on SmackDown.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
There was a lot of buzz going into that, obviously, with NXT and his first match with Sami Zayn, which is an all-timer. Mm-hmm. Yes, I mean, in coming over from New Japan with all that buzz, now he just surfs. He gets paid to surf. So
you kind of feel like you see that in the ring too. That, I mean, this is not the New Japan Shinsuke. This is not the NXT Shinsuke by any means. Just kind of feels he's coasting by collecting those checks, and God bless him for it.
It's super odd, like you said, for him to get a win with no buzz. All he did was just throw on some makeup over a guy who the last year and a half has gotten a lot of great crowd responses.
Mm-hmm.
And when WWE usually picks up on that, they run with it, at least, but not here. Not here. That's for sure. So, yeah, the Triple Threat IC title match was outstanding. The Bron Breakker shoulder tackle, when he just ran and just came into your screen, and just crushed Sheamus, I believe. Whoa. Yeah. Freaky athleticism. So hopefully a character starts to develop with this too.
Yeah. I'm still not super sold on him because of that fact. And I think his dad's a shit bag. Not that you should judge a son by their father, but I kind of, to your point, character is a little vanilla other than just being a super physical dude in the ring. This was my favorite Bron Breakker showing I've ever seen too. He was fantastic in this match.
He had some decent matches in NXT. I believe he was the second guy to pin Gunther Walter back then. And then Gunther Walter went to the main roster right after that. So, yeah, Ludwig Kaiser, you and I are completely in agreement with. He's got, as John Albo once termed, because Billy Gunn told him he had a punchable face, and that's not a bad thing. It's his moneymaker.
Wrestling, yep.
Ludwig has that exact same thing. And he's also punchable because he's dating Tiffany Stratton. That's the other thing as well.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes. So, yeah, I think that'd be a great move to hold off and have Sheamus pick up the IC title win at WrestleMania.
Just one-on-one this time?
Yeah. Somehow, some way over the last 4 or 5 years, he's, in a sense, not resurrected his career, but he's put on some pretty solid performances in the ring with not just Gunther, but Drew McIntyre. Cesaro also with the bar in that. Yeah, I mean, he's been a staple for the last 7 or 8 years. So we'll see if he can continue this and maybe do something with the IC title, continue a run that was kind of left behind with Gunther. Because Sammy didn't do too much. Braun, we'll see. Jey Uso's run was outstanding.
Did you watch the rest of the show? Did you watch all of the rest of the show, or...
I got through Gunther and Damian Priest all the way through. We're definitely in agreement on Finn Balor, by the way. That's going to be, I was going to talk about Saturday night's main event at the end of our Raw discussion, just kind of the four matches they have. And they also are using Obsession, I believe, as their opening theme.
Don't hate that.
They've been doing it with the teases. So, yeah, I think Gunther's character has been made a little bit weak recently in backstage stuff on Raw. So just kind of weird they might be turning him face. I hope they don't do that.
Yeah, I would agree with that. That's a little odd. I think I could see it down the road, but I think he needs some years of just kind of being an ass kicker, kind of like Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, and like you said though, when he turns it on, it's just so fun to watch. And yeah, Damian Priest again. I mean, unfortunately, he's been taking a backseat here for a while, and yeah, that was his chance. I was hoping maybe somewhere between WrestleMania and SummerSlam next year, he'd get another shot and see if they could heat him up. But just throwing him here in a one-off title match was a little bit odd to me, I guess. When is it in a four-way? And then the men's War Games I did watch. That was start to finish. Fun with the interactions in the cage with Roman and Punk and Zayn. I know the West Side Story with the trope and everything. Yeah.
Turned it off. Couldn't do it. Mm-hmm. It's like they just completely fucking lost me with that bullshit.
And to no one's surprise, the OG Bloodline with Punk ends up winning. They're going to be teasing some stuff down the road here, which will be, I think, will be cool. It could be, at least. And it just kind of shows the height of popularity where Roman Reigns is these days, too. And how turning him heel 3-4 years ago was the best decision they ever made, because ever since that's happened, business from when pandemic crowds were, or when the crowds came back in 2021, business has increased. Here we are.
Yep.
They've just taken off like a rocket ship. That and when Cody Rhodes signed with the company back in April of 2022 as well. So, yeah, overall, like I said, like from what I saw, Survivor Series was good, but we also skipped the Women's War Games.
I have no time for that bullshit. Not because it's women, but because it was just kind of slapped together last minute, and I just knew it was going to be a weapons fest. I got a little worried in the men's one there for a while. I thought that was going to be the case because, you know, Bronson went looking for weapons, but luckily, you know, God love him, Jimmy Uso just ran right in there. He knows how to do that. That's one of the best things about the War Games, guys just rushing in there. So yeah, they just got to figure out something different with their double ring steel cage matches.
Yeah, you had WWE tribalists on X.com saying that this match should have been an elimination style match and this was not appropriate for a War Games. Talk about the women.
Oh yeah, I don't. Why not? There should always be at least one traditional Survivor Series match on Survivor Series.
This would have been great for it.
Yep.
Absolutely. Because Rhea picked up the win there, pinning Liv, slamming her through a table. Meaning Rhea's going to eventually see Liv down the road, but Liv's going to have a match here at Saturday night's main event as well, which we'll get into here after Raw. So, did you get a chance to see CM Punk and Seth Rollins, Sami Zayn, all of that with the promo stuff?
I did. I watched a pretty good amount of Raw. I watched way more of Raw than I have in a very long time. It was, I think, pretty well, you know, streamlined storytelling wise. It just makes a huge difference when it's only 2 hours. Enjoyed myself for the most part. I hate to say it as a known AEW apologist and hater of the E, but it was pretty good. I'm curious as to where certain things are going with these intertwining of stories with, you know, Punk and Reigns and Rollins and Sammy, you know, possibly Cody. Basically, it's what's Punk thinking for WrestleMania, you know? My big thing as far as Raw goes was the New Day. Because I think, like you, I have been, or at least was, a huge New Day fan. One of my favorite wrestling shirts I ever had was that light blue one with them riding the unicorns. I absolutely loved that shirt. That was an early one. So I was actually going to plan on tuning into Raw just because of that, just because of the 10-year anniversary. And, you know, hearing that the rest of it was good, I ended up watching quite a bit of it, but I was watching just for the New Day. Tell me your thoughts on Raw and, you know, specifically that New Day segment.
I think I only missed about 20 minutes of it.
Raw? Nice.
Yeah. I watched most of it. So, Punk's looking at WrestleMania, or he wants a world title match. I think there's going to be a bridge to block him. It's probably going to be Seth Rollins. It's kind of the way that I feel. Rollins feels threatened ever since Punk came back into the company, and Punk just said, well, you don't have what I want anymore, so you are irrelevant to me. Just step aside.
So we thought, I think originally that was going to be a WrestleMania match last year, and then obviously Seth got injured and that kind of changed, or a Punk got injured and that changed a lot of stuff. Are they going to go to that match sooner rather than later, or do they hold off? And is that a WrestleMania match still? You know, because the whole still annoyingly, the big thing is Punk wants his main event, and I don't see that being a main event, Punk and Rollins, that is, unless one of them grabs a world title before then.
One thing I hope they don't do is turn it into a triple threat situation.
Who would
Rollins,
be
Punk, Gunther?
Okay. Yeah, no, that doesn't work. That doesn't work for me, brother.
Me neither. I just have a funny feeling that there's a possibility of it happening.
Is there a chance, because I've been seeing rumors that The Rock might not work WrestleMania 41? Am I alone in hearing that, or have you seen that too, that rumbling?
There were supposed to be some updates this evening from Sean Ross Sapp, I believe, on that story. Yes, I do believe, especially since Moana crushed in the theaters their opening weekend. I think Dwayne's doing much better now.
God, I've heard it sucks. And that's coming from someone who loved the first movie.
Mm-hmm.
I guess, you know, if there's no Rock, which would really suck, being that they have two mega matches with Rock versus Cody or Rock versus Roman just sitting there. And the fact that I just think we're all getting worked. I just can't imagine a scenario where he did not have his schedule cleared to participate in this next WrestleMania, considering that everything he did at 40 is unresolved, that there's still so much to do there. Like I said, they have two matches they still kind of have to get to, considering what took place going into WrestleMania 40. So if there's no Rock, I'm wondering if you want that big main event, if, you know, you talking about triple threats, do you do Punk, Rollins, and Reigns? Cause I know, you know, think your buddy and former pod guest, Phil Lindsay, I think that's the match he would want to see, is Rollins and Reigns, that is. So I don't know if you throw Punk in there just to add extra spice or what. What do you think?
Ooh, well, yeah, that's one thing that you could do. Do you hold off on Reigns Punk for SummerSlam next year? Is one thing as well. And Rollins he was not pinned by Reigns during this whole three-year reign of Roman, where he just ran through the entire roster. Seth beat him by DQ at the 2022 Royal Rumble. There's obviously a ton of history there. Seth's had his number for a while. He beat him in 2016 at Money in the Bank when Moxley cashed in on him.
Right, yeah.
So every member of the Shield held the title on that given night. There's a lot of opportunities, I think, for WrestleMania where, and I'm thinking aloud here too, kind of fast forwarding to what I'm hoping for in Saturday night's main event, I would not mind seeing, and I don't think they'll pull the trigger on this, but Kevin Owens walking into WrestleMania with the World Heavyweight Championship, the Undisputed Universal Championship, and taking on his best friend / all-time greatest foe, Sami Zayn.
Wow, give Sammy his moment finally?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I mean, the other direction you can go with that is, you know, there's a lot of history between Owens and Punk, too. Obviously, I think Owens feels pretty disrespected from things that have happened in their past. That could be a direction too. Right? Like I said it just the other week, you know, my preference is to see Owens go to AEW, but if not, I would definitely put the title on him. It's long overdue.
I really hope that they pull the trigger on Saturday night's main event. I will be invested in that match for sure.
And I mean, especially, I mean, not to get our head ahead of ourselves here, but you know, they've already announced another Saturday night's main event for, was it at the end of January, I think, in San Antonio.
Wow.
This one is in San Antonio.
Uniondale, New York.
Yeah. San Antonio, January 25th, Saturday night's main event.
The week before the Royal Rumble.
So if they want to make sure that this new version of Saturday night's main event, you know, remains a thing, I think you got to do something big on this one. And you, with the card announced, you don't get any bigger than KO taking the title off of Codelander.
Cody will be just fine. He'll have a large match waiting for him at WrestleMania. We talked about Randy Orton in a non-title setting, or at least I did.
Yeah, that'd be a great match for me. Yeah, that'd be a great match for me to fast forward through.
Exactly. It's a match I would not want to see for a World Heavyweight Championship at WrestleMania, but I would not mind it being on the card though. So throw Owens and Zayn in there. This is my fantasy booking. This is how we're getting there. And then that leaves Reigns. Yeah, Reigns Rollins or Reigns Punk. Go ahead.
I was just gonna say it just kind of feels like the money match is Reigns and Punk, especially with, you know, the fallout and the favor that Punk keeps referring to. That's the big money ticket if there's no Rock and Roman, is I think the biggest you can do is Punk and Roman.
Yes, absolutely. If you were a betting man and you were to pick right now, the 2024 Royal Rumble, 2025 Royal Rumble winner, who would it be?
Oh, man. Well, I believe the betting favorite right now, from what I saw the other day, is The Rock, is the betting favorite to win the Royal Rumble. I think that would stink. Mm-hmm. Rollins has won it. Punk has never won it, so I could see that. Sammy would be a nice moment, but I think the top of the card is packed right now. I have a hard time seeing Sammy get in there. So I would probably say Punk right now.
And I lean Roman.
Yeah. Yeah.
This would be the second time he's won it, or third, probably second. 'Cause he won it in 2015.
That would take some shenanigans take a lot of moving pieces around before WrestleMania, because I have beyond zero interest of seeing another Cody and Roman WrestleMania match. We've seen Roman and KO, you know, a billion times by this point, so that one doesn't work. So you would have to get the title on somebody else. You know, Gunther Roman would be awesome, but that's just not a WrestleMania match right now. There's just too much other intriguing stories going on. So it's a good problem that they have. They have a lot of options right now, a lot of moving pieces. And I hate to say it, but I am intrigued.
I'm very intrigued after the way that they played it out. And this is me also leaning pro AEW, as story heavy as it was on WWE Raw. And I enjoyed it. Don't get me wrong. I still wish there was about 10 to 15 minutes more wrestling on that show.
Yeah. I didn't think the wrestling was all that good on the show that I saw. Like even the Sammy and Seth match was more about them like yelling at each other. So I was like, oh, yeah. I know they can do a lot more than that. That obviously wasn't the point of that show, so whatever. But, you know, it's like what Kyle always said, is they're giving their audience what they want. That is a promotion of moments. They just tell their stories differently. So
experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store. Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at tanger.com.
Hey, we've been kind of beating around the bush here, man. New day. Talk to me, brother.
Let's start. Yeah, we'll go there, and then I'll have one more question for you, because I wanted Ryan to answer this question too, but we'll wait on it. Oh, it tugged at all my heartstrings.
Yeah. Did you read the Players Tribune piece that Big E put out? I think it was that day or the day before.
It was the day of.
That was incredible. I had no idea about some of that stuff. I almost cried at that part at the end about, you know, what he would say to that you know, young boy who stared in the mirror as a kid who just didn't like himself. And he's just like, I'd just give him a hug, that thing he didn't have. I was already a huge Big E fan for a long time, and just made me an even a bigger fan of what has been, I think, pretty known that he's a good human being. For those who don't know, it was him and Cody who went to Negative One's house to unfortunately break the news that his dad had passed away. So great dude. And that entire segment, man, that was pretty incredible. I have my doubts about this heel version of Kofi and Xavier. More about Kofi being a heel, I have a hard time seeing that. I think Xavier could certainly pull that off. But man, that was fantastic. I mean, just like eyes glued to the TV, you know, great stuff.
And they've been teasing this for 3-4 months now, which I've actually caught, because Mondays are, I'm pretty free. So I'll drop in on at least 30 to 40 minutes of Raw if I feel it's intriguing. Mm-hmm. And they've, in spite of the fact that they're lower on the card, they've always drawn me in somehow, some way. And the week before this, when they got into that shouting match, that 3.5 minute shouting match, walking backstage after... Was it Xavier that got pinned in the ring, I think? Yeah, I just can't remember who they lost to. But yeah, great stuff. And the realism, and just tying into how, Kofi wasn't there, or Kofi was there for Xavier. And then Xavier comes out and just says, without us, you wouldn't be world champion. And you just pissed it all away by losing in 6 seconds to Brock Lesnar.
Great stuff.
Just needling each other back and forth. I'm like, ooh, this segment next week's going to be incredible. And it most certainly was.
Go ahead. Go ahead. Nope. You.
I expected Big E to show up. So, I mean, and a lot of the points that Xavier and Kofi were making were very interesting. Just about how he's been gone since March of 2022. I did look that up. So it's been 2.5 years since he's been in a WWE ring. They just mentioned how bedside, right by him, they've seen births of others, their children, there through all the thick and thin over the last decade, and the winding road, and just there for each other. But then, Big E, where have you been the last 2 years?
Mm-hmm.
Austin came back from a broken neck. Yeah. Angle came back from a broken neck.
Edge came back.
Why can't you?
That was good, man. That was really good.
Oh. And then at the end there, where they just said, all right, you need to go back to commentary. You've changed. You're a home man now. Ever since you've gotten a girlfriend, you've changed. And go back to that cushy desk job, and it's over. They didn't say it's over, but Big E with just that look on his face, like, is this really over? No. He's like, I can't accept this. And he's like, oh, they can't even look at him. Heart-wrenching stuff.
Yeah, that it's the kind of segment that in the wrong hands could just go in the worst direction of bad professional wrestling melodrama. But those guys kept it in check. And, I'm sure they were kind of maybe not feeding off like real life emotions, but like maybe taking some small stuff and stretching it into something that was a lot more. Cause I mean, they had a good point. It's like, you could have come back and managed us at any time. Why now? You know, now at the very end. I am curious as to why they've kind of decided to stick together. You know, it's just us. Why that changed so much all of a sudden, just a mutual hatred for Big E. Especially weird when it doesn't really sound that like we can get a payoff with that, because Big E's not cleared. Doesn't really sound like he's in too big of a rush. Like he's not going to take any chances or force anything. So, yeah, I got my doubts about where it goes from here, but for one night, they made an all-time classic moment.
They did plant that seed though, to where I think it's going to happen. I think he is going to come back. Whether that's 6 months down the road or what. I don't know why, like you said, I don't know why they would drop that if they didn't either think he was going to come back or they just know something that we don't.
I mean, I just think it would have been like a attack right then moment, you know, put him down. But since they didn't, and, you know, his Players Tribune article seemed pretty sincere, and he said in there that he has not been cleared yet. And at this point, I just, you know, the big thing with Edge was it was no confidence. But then, you know, he was doing all his stunt work, and I think the Viking show, and he realized, like, well, wait, if I can do all this stuff, why can't I go back to pro wrestling? And unless Big E does something physical, he's probably never going to have that, you know, confidence to come back and try. Because, you know, a big part of it, I'm sure, is just the mental game of if something goes bad, it's going to go really fucking bad, life-altering bad.
He's close to 40 now. He's going to be 39, I believe, in February or March. So, yeah, definitely he's got a long life ahead of him. Yep. That's for sure. So he definitely doesn't need to return to the ring, especially that he's fallen in love, and I believe that they are engaged as well. It's Mia Yim's sister. I don't know if you knew that.
Yeah, that's what I think he said that in the article. I had no idea. Good for him. Happy for him.
Absolutely. So where do Xavier and Kofi go from here? That'll be my last question on this.
I would, you know, heel tag team that gets, you know, one of those many tag team championships. And even that's just like, that's underwhelming. We've seen them be tag team champions a million times now. So like, what's that really going to mean? So I don't know. That's, you know, again, that's why I have my doubts about this. You know, when you have this unit for 10 years, you've kind of played everything out, and a big part of it, and it's going to be real interesting to see, is what the crowd reaction is the next time they come out. Cause it's going to be all about sustaining that heat. And I just don't know if it's going to be there. I mean, I think you said it yourself. Even the reaction to Big E coming out was kind of lukewarm. It was not what I think you would have expected it to be. And maybe part of that is just because that theme stinks, always has stunk. It's just so bland that nobody probably knew who the hell it was coming out. But yeah, I have my doubts. You know, I hope nothing but the best for those guys. You know, kind of just like with WWE in general, just intrigued where they're going to go. Do you have any idea? Any thoughts?
I don't, because like you said, Kofi as a heel is just odd.
Yeah. I don't know if that's going to work.
Xavier could pull it off.
Yeah.
The mannerisms, I think, are great with him. So, yeah, they've done pretty much everything under the sun, and neither one of them have been built up to be singles threats at any given point in time, especially with how that roster is right now. We just talked about all those main event acts. So, yeah, I think another tag team championship is ahead of them, but there really isn't that up-and-coming tag team, because I'm not counting the Creeds right now. There's just nobody there. There's nobody there that I really want to see them take on at all. So
yeah.
Well, hi, Kid That Chills. It's nice to see you. Thank you so much for commenting tonight. We definitely appreciate it. My question to you then, Justin, before we move on to a little AEW C2, we have not talked about this at all. The WWE has introduced United States and Intercontinental Women's Championship belts. I know how we felt about this in the past. I'm assuming you feel the same way now.
It fucking sucks. They don't have the roster for it. It's just watering down an already diluted situation. The only silver lining is that everybody who fucking complained about AEW having too many belts has to shut up now, because WWE has way more. And they have, because it's a quote unquote brand split that doesn't actually exist, because we're seeing guys on this, you know, both shows all the time. You know, we've got two men's tag team champions. You know, we have these two mid-card championships for both men and women. It's just, it's impossible to keep track of. And I especially hate that it's just basically the same design, title design, as the men's version. I think that is just indicative of a complete lack of creativity in that department.
Not only that, you have a really hard time getting the women's tag team championships on the show already.
Yeah. That's because there's no fucking tag teams for any of them to compete with.
Yeah. So when are you going to have time to get the women's Intercontinental Championship and women's United States Championships on television with, again, a women's War Games that included Candice LeRae because he didn't have enough heels as well, when she's been unfortunately irrelevant as a main card act for, what are we looking at, 5 to 6 years? They shoehorned it because they didn't have enough firepower back there.
Yep.
Becky's not there. Charlotte's not there right now. Sasha's gone. Yeah. The moment somebody big gets injured, nobody has stepped up into that spot. Not even Liv.
I wish I had looked up how big the main roster women's division is, because now you're going to, you know, once this is done, you're going to have six women holding titles just on the main roster, not including NXT. I mean, yeesh. I mean, I can about guarantee it's not like four times bigger than that, the women's roster size. So yeah, it's just, don't like it at all.
They're leaning into Dakota Kai as the favorite to win the women's Intercontinental Championship portion. And then the United States Women's Championship final is going to be on Saturday night's main event as well.
I will probably be skipping it.
So we'll have two men's matches on that show next Saturday night, Peacock, Uniondale, New York. So yeah, we definitely agree. The mid-card titles were not needed, even though there was a lot of joy that I saw around, and I was like, you're not going to be able to find room for them.
And that's the thing, is like, I think they just want to claim it as like progress for the women in professional wrestling. But the real progress, to your point about when are these belts going to get on any show, is they just need to be on shows. That would be progress. They need to be on more interesting in more interesting stories. It's just these new titles just feel like such a band-aid on a bullet wound.
It really does. And for the semifinals will be next week, Bayley, Chelsea Green, Mia Yim will be taking on the winner of the triple threat between Naomi, Tiffany Stratton, and Electra Lopez. So I'm assuming it's going to be, I think it would probably be Naomi, because Tiffany's got that briefcase. So, I mean, of those women, it's like Bayley's already held the world title. I like Chelsea Green as a character, but I don't know. Getting her on TV as a mid-card champion doesn't matter.
Yeah, I'm zero interest.
Yeah, unfortunately, I agree. AEW.
Oh,
we'll go through this. Here we go. The C2 thus far, I have not seen the collision matches. I've gotten through all of the Dynamite ones. Give me your thoughts on that so far, and then we'll speed through Dynamite.
I mean, if you have not watched Kyle Fletcher and Beast Mortos, that's the one you absolutely need to go back and watch, because I thought that was a fantastic match.
Oh, two of my favorites right now. Yours too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I got to say, man, this Dynamite, a little divisive from what I've gathered on at least on our Facebook page. I think I'm still just on this role of being in this great mental space when it comes to AEW, and specifically, I think it's because of this C2. There are things that you can nitpick pretty easily that people have done. You know, it's like, how are these guys getting into the C2 is a big one. You know, the fact that they just had to put Commander in here, even though I'm sure he's probably sitting around a sub 500 record. But my thing is just like, even if you'd had like the Beast Mortis or the Commander or Juice or Mark Briscoe, even if you'd given them like a month of wins on TV, you know, they could still only be four or five wins coming in. We still know what their purpose is in this tournament. You know, it's to lose matches to the other guys. So that just doesn't bother me. I'm just not going to get too upset about that because I'm just so enjoying the effort that these guys are putting into these matches because they really do feel different to me. And maybe that's just me because I love this tournament so much. But I don't know, man. I think there's some pretty interesting ways they can go as far as a winner, you know, especially with the decision of, you know, whoever wins both blocks is going to face the runners up in the other block and that's both matches, both semifinals and finals are taking place at World's End. So yes, there's this world where we could get Ospreay and Fletcher 2, and then we could get like Okada versus Claudio or Okada versus Darby. And even some of the other names, man, I'm loving this Brody King push too. I like, goddamn, give that dude a TNT title run this year, please. Daniel Garcia is another one I could see maybe slipping in there if they want to do a bit more of an upset by either Fletcher or Okada not making it to those finals. But yeah, man, I'm totally digging it.
That's where I called my shot. Okada and Garcia with the draw.
Very nice. Yeah, I good match. I didn't think it was quite as good as... Oh, shoot. Now I forget the other one. That's the only problem is that now they're kind of all starting to blend together a little bit. Like, so I don't know what show was what show, especially when, you know, they recorded Dynamite and Collision together, at least on that one.
Not just this. There's going to be three Continental Classic matches on Rampage.
I saw people complaining about that, too. It's like you're either going to complain about, you know, them treating these shows as special, or you're going to complain about, it's like, well, we're not supposed to care about Rampage. Why are they putting the matches on there? They're making me watch this show. What the fuck? It's like, come on, guys. Fuck. Who cares? Watch it. Record it. That's what DVRs are for.
Recording. It's the big one. Yes. Friday night at 9, especially if you're doing something, or if it's 10 o'clock Eastern, if you're out and about, I mean, if you're young, obviously, yeah. If it's past your bedtime, record it. That's what I'm probably going to do. I'll watch it. I got all day Saturday to take care of it. So, yeah. And Rampage goes away in 2 weeks.
You know what my one complaint about the C2 right now is? They've done away, at least thus far, of one of the best parts about last year's C2. And that's those post-match backstage interviews. Mm-hmm. I mean, bring those back, please. But that'd be my only complaint. Like, I just don't have a problem with anything else. At least not like anything I'm going to get too worked up about.
I felt the two matches here on Wednesday, the C2 matches that were sandwiched at the top of the bottom, were good. Mm-hmm. Fletcher and Benjamin was interesting. I did see... Go ahead.
Fletcher looks big. Like, he's been fucking adding muscle quite a bit in this last year or so. But, like, with the way that Benjamin has just dwarfed everybody he's been in the ring with in AEW, and, like, Fletcher, you know, lines up pretty nicely with him. He's just a huge dude. I dug that match, too. Totally okay with the finish. Fletcher works really well as that obnoxious... cocky heel, in my opinion. So him getting that win was a-okay in my book.
Yeah, we definitely agree. And Shelton Benjamin played the face for a match. I think those guys are just tweeners anyway, to be honest with you. The whole Hurt Syndicate, the crowd likes them.
Yeah, totally agree. Totally agree. And I liked how they try to salvage Benjamin losing that match with that backstage segment where they just started beating up random people.
Yeah. No, I'm with you on that. Yeah, it's really cool to see again Shelton Benjamin getting a run this late in his career. He'll be 50 here, I think, next year.
I would agree. You know, they are supposed to both be heels, and Rick Skelton brought this up in the Facebook group, is that kicking off the show with that kind of dynamic was a little odd. Now Rick also said that he thought that that killed the crowd, which is not a feeling I got. I also watched it pretty late, so I had the volume turned down to not wake my family up, but I still thought the crowd was really into it. And I guess the only thing I would have done differently is I probably would have put Pac and White in that opening spot, because then you also could have, you know, because that's the big angle right now is the whole Death Rider stuff. And with Orange coming in there and Hangman and Jay White, I think that's something you could have talked about for the rest of the show, you know, to really drive home how big of a deal that is and the questions surrounding that. So that'd probably be the one thing I would have changed. The Battle Royal, not good, but also it was 10 minutes, you know, who kind of cares? And they tried to do some stuff for the future with Leo and Andretti being the ones to eliminate Top Flight. So, you know, I don't know. It's just, that was certainly the low point of the show, especially I agree Absolutely. With anybody who is disinterested in this whole Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly, and frankly, the Adam Cole and MJF dynamic. I'm just not all that interested in. Couldn't give a shit less about the Dynamite Diamond Ring.
That's the only time that the crowd I felt was mellow was just the Battle Royal. That was it. So, I will admit though, MJF's promo, that was one of his better ones in a couple months. I liked it. I don't know about you.
Yeah, no, it's solid. It seems like you're kind of typical MJF promo at this point, which is not usually bad. It's just hard for me to get into when I don't care about the angle.
That's fair. What I did like that he was just trying to tie things together with the whole butterfly effect. He's like, I broke Roddy Strong's arm, and now you're wrestling Kyle O'Reilly, who's going to be pissed at you. How are you going to win? And ever since you cost me the World Heavyweight Championship, John Moxley now rules AEW with an iron fist. Now you're the villain?
Yeah.
Thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah, don't hate it. But here's the thing, and I think this is my biggest reason for why I loved Dynamite last night, is that I think an hour and 50 minutes of that show could have been absolute dog shit, worst television AEW has ever produced, and I still would have given it an A+ just because of the Swerve and Max Caster match. That was fucking brilliant. That is exactly kind of stuff we need more of in AEW, is these like higher end squash matches where they made all the only purpose of that segment was to make Swerve look like $1 million. You know, it wasn't against some local guy. It was against somebody that we have some history with, someone we dislike. That was just, I thought that was pitch perfect. Freaking, you know, you talked about, you know, not necessarily being worried, but thinking that the Swerve's loss at Full Gear should probably be his last one in a while. And holy shit, did they recover from that loss pretty goddamn quickly. Loved it. Swerve is like, okay, I'm sorry. I'm kind of talking over you. I got one more thing.
Keep it up.
This is my other big take coming out of Dynamite. You know, we've said for a while now, it seems like the story they're telling when it comes to the Death Riders and Moxley in that world championship is for Darby to overcome that. But man, dude, Swerve and Hangman are the guys. They are the guys of this promotion. You know, we still got to see how Omega is going to look. You know, they still have Ospreay right there, but fuck, dude, this is Hangman and Swerve's company. In my opinion, those are the guys that are, you know, they're just the top guys. I don't know really how else to put it. Would you agree with that?
Yes, I would. Oh, this is just me and my stupid kayfabe brain that I've had forever and ever and ever and ever. I understand that Hangman Page has beef with Jon Moxley. Came out with the promo last week on Christian just saying you're the one who dropped the ball because I gave you that contract to get ready to cash in and says, I want the first shot. I should be walking out AEW Men's World Champion right now. The problem is, as Jay White alluded to 2 minutes later, who beat you at Full Gear? Who beat you at Wrestle Dream? Hangman's just taking a lot of losses this year.
And I agree with that. I do need a better explanation as to why he's all of a sudden so interested, as you know, because he's been kind of playing more of a heel character, although I think he's always been more of a tweener, or at least since this quote unquote turn. I need a better explanation why he's all of a sudden more interested in going after Moxley outside of just wanting a world title. I agree with that. I don't really like this, what we're looking at, probably a fatal four-way for World's End. I would much prefer just a Jon Moxley versus Jay White. Although the flip side of that is, Jay White's not winning. And then what do you do with him after that, since he already lost MJF at Full Gear last year? So I kind of understand why they're going to go with, four guys instead of just one of them having to eat the pin. But I guess my thing with Hangman is just the presence. Same thing with Swerve. Those guys just have a big star presence. And maybe that's just through my own lens, but man, those guys just pop off the screen to me.
You're not alone there. That's for sure. That's why I said I really wanted Hangman to win at Full Gear. I really wanted that to happen. I said it's time for him to just get back to his rightful spot up near the top. And of course, we know that Will Ospreay can turn that on at some point in time too. Now he's entrenched in the C2, which is okay. I mean, again, you mentioned you can push Swerve here to maybe be the guy to dethrone Mox later on.
Yeah, that was just the feeling I had watching him on Dynamite. It was just like, fuck. I mean, the moment I think it would create for him to like walk out and challenge Mox, I think the crowd would go fucking batshit crazy. But yeah, I don't know. I had a lot of fun watching Dynamite. I'm really digging what they're putting out, and it was so good to see a hot crowd again. I was getting so worried about that. I thought maybe that was just something they had lost forever, or not, that's being a little dramatic, but it was so good to see. And I certainly wasn't expecting it from Fisher, Indiana. So God bless everybody in attendance there. Thank you. It adds so much more to the show.
That was huge. And so Fisher, I'm assuming that was Butler University. I would imagine that's where that show was last night. I think that's where they play. Jay White Pack was the highlight for me last night.
Oh, really? Oh.
Match was very good.
It was good. It started off a little slow, which I think they're, probably working it a little bit differently to differentiate it from, the C2 matches. Highlight for me was Brody and Claudio. I loved that match. Those two just beat the ever living shit out of each other. Claudio having to cheat in order to beat Brody, I thought was fantastic because it still makes Brody look strong. And I don't hate the idea of even just like a 1 month House of Black versus Death Riders feud.
I'm with it. I actually wouldn't mind. Honestly, wouldn't mind if they took the trios titles away from those guys.
Although I want to see some bigger things from Brody King this year. I would like to see a singles run.
You're getting zero arguments from me there. I mean, you pinned Darby last week.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's been the only one I haven't called yet. I think that was the kind of a surprise to me. So looking forward to hopefully seeing another upset or two coming down the road for the C2, which there was last year. I can definitely tell you that.
So I think there's a lot of juicy matchups coming. I mean, aren't we getting Ospreay and Claudio next Wednesday? I mean,
yep.
Yeah, there's so much to look forward to in the month to come.
Fletcher Okada, Saturday, Collision.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. Mm-hmm. I think that'll tell us a lot about the direction of this. I would fully expect Okada to win that, though.
Yes, I do agree. And we're getting Ospreay Darby December 18th, 2 weeks.
Oh boy, it's a good time right now to be a professional wrestling fan, irregardless of if you only support, you know, one of the promotions, or if you love both, or I mean, it's a nice diversity of, you know, the kind of wrestling that you can get. And I'm really enjoying the shit out of it right now.
I actually, not going to lie, I enjoyed the Anna Jay Penelope Ford match last night also. Thought it was very good.
Yeah, Anna's getting over. She's got a bright future ahead of her.
She'll be taking on Mercedes in 2 weeks, and that same card with Ospreay and Darby in DC. So
yeah.
Camille just split off with Mercedes, so she's probably written off of TV for a bit. I think Mercedes in doses on the mic, and I'm talking very small doses, has been an improvement, I'd say, over the last 2 to 3 weeks.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Hopefully she's just, you know, using the momentum of that Full Gear match to, you know, finally get going.
Less is definitely more with her on the microphone. Great. Yep, like you said, use that in-ring presence, especially as she did with Statlander. Last thing on the women's division, we'll probably wrap everything up here. We're looking at Jamie Hayter and Julia Hart coming down the road also. That's interesting.
Yeah, wait and see for me. See what Julia looks like coming back.
That's the big thing to me. And I can't help how Jamie Hayter to me looks like she just escaped Scooby-Doo.
I like it.
Oh, she's got the 1970s vibe. She's like a Thelma and Daphne mix right now with her character. It's just so hilarious to me. But yeah, I'd say all in all, I would rate last night's Dynamite about a 7 out of 10. Very, very good. Quite passable, with only the Battle Royal to me was skippable. And everything else you can watch.
Yep, I couldn't agree more. And that's all I have to say, man. I got it all out there.
I'm with you. You and I both. We got this done in an hour when we would hope for 45. Go figure. We get long-winded on these tangents.
Yeah. Shit. My bad.
Hey, it's okay. Again, you said it. You're excited with everything that's been going on.
And I am.
You made me a little more positive. Like I said, I watched Dynamite just tonight here late this afternoon. I'm like, it was a good show. It felt like something was missing to me. But the only thing that was missing was just that Battle Royal segment, because everything else I did think was good.
Yeah. I think a big part of it is also, especially with the C2, is how much you buy in to some of these guys. And as anybody who listens to this knows, like the three of us are bought into Kyle Fletcher.
Yes, we are. That is for sure. So, yep, we'll definitely see how that goes with Okada on Saturday. And I'm like you said, Okada's got to get that victory since he has the draw. So, Daniel Garcia's arc.
Hell yeah. Let's go. Can't wait for all of it. Yep. Going to watch Rampage for the first time in ages.
I think it's been a full year since I've watched it live.
Probably same. At least.
Oh, yeah. So, yep, lots of good stuff on the horizon again. WWE's in my backyard tomorrow and Saturday. Might go see NXT Deadline. I'm still wavering. We'll see. Pull the trigger on the last minute ticket. Or I know some people in media here in Minnesota. I might just see if I can get a favor.
There you go.
Yeah, the Armory's a great place.
You deserve it.
TRN, thank you so much this evening. Ryan will be back soon. His daughter's birthday is tomorrow, I believe. And they celebrated this evening.
That sounds right. Happy birthday, Eden.
Happiest of birthdays to you. I think we're coming with a live show next Thursday. Not 100% sure, because we are recording Classics next week. But I will be dropping it Unplugged as well. So, yeah.
Ooh, there we go.
Jury's out. I'll be excited just to see. Again, I'd probably give a Deadline live experience if I go, and then give thoughts on what happened with Collision, because, again, Okada Fletcher sounds just magnificent to me. Yes. And we'll be rolling into a really good Raw, hopefully, again, building off of that momentum that we saw post-Survivor Series, and a lot to talk about with SmackDown.
Yeah, Saturday night's main event is coming.
Oh, baby. As soon as my son goes to bed, we're throwing that on Peacock next Saturday night. I'm pumped for that. So pumped for a little nostalgia in our life. All right, one last thing. If you haven't already, please subscribe to the YouTube channel. Always helps. Google, Apple, and Spotify. Give us a 5-star review. We have a new merch shop as well, which Ryan's got a lot of those. He's got a really cool rock glass that we saw. Excellent stuff. Looks like there's a little more personal touches to it when you get your merch in the mail. So looking forward to that. Hopefully you look into it. And then, of course, best way to support us, patreon.com/toprope nation, $5 a month. We will be recording 1992 WWF Survivor Series here late next week. So don't worry, it is worth the wait. There will be 4 of us on the show. And then we'll see what December Classics brings us, Justin.
Yeah, I got to start looking into that, see if I can make any suggestions to our Patreons.
I got to look back on it, and the only one that comes to the top of my head just because of kind of that one-night tournament was Starrcade 1989.
Oh, okay.
You get Flair, Sting, Luger, Flair, Sting, Luger, and the Great Muta all facing each other in one night. Yeah, I think that the rest of the card was just, if I remember, god-awful. But those 4 men, that was just the whole premise behind the card. And we all know about Ric Flair and his 1989.
Yes, sir.
So there we are. All right. I got to hit this wonderful button. And for Justin Joint, my name is Jesse Velasquez. That has been episode 366 of Top Rope Nation. We shall see you very, very soon. Take care.
Take care of yourselves.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.